Today, the World Health Organization released its Health for the World's Adolescents report. It shows that depression is a top cause of illness and disability for both boys and girls aged 10 to 19. Globally, the top three causes of adolescent death are road traffic injuries, HIV/AIDS, and suicide.
Elizabeth Sawick is with us to talk about the report and the organization's recommendations. She's a professor of nursing and adolescent medicine at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Elizabeth, welcome to Central Time.
Hello.
Well, this is a huge report that's just been compiled. How did the World Health Organization gather all this data?
So this is actually the product of more than a year, and it's something a little bit different. It's not a huge, like, yellow pages worth of a tome of report that you can actually get printed. It's online, and it's interactive. So there's the key messages, and then you can click on additional links to get videos and pop-up information. This was a huge consultation. So not only were there a variety of systematic reviews of the latest evidence from published research, all of the different guidance and recommendations that WHO has put out in all their various aspects, so the stuff related to HIV, the stuff related to reproductive health, the stuff that relates to tobacco use, that are have some aspect of adolescence related to it, but they also included drawing on some of the latest data, such as the mortality data that you mentioned at the beginning here, and the latest information about causes of disability and illness, and health behaviors from all the different countries in the world that actually do population surveys and have data that can be shared. And then on top of that, they also did a consultation with young people around the world in several different languages online using SurveyMonkey and asked them their opinions about their health and well-being where they are. And they included those comments as well as a similar consultation with healthcare providers from 80 different countries in the world and their perspectives on adolescent healthcare into this report. So it's thousands and thousands of different people contributing to the perspective on this second decade of life, adolescence, age 10 to 19.
And I understand part of the reason for this report, or what the World Health Organization is hoping will come from it, is a new attention drawn to the problems, the health problems of adolescents, that this has maybe been overlooked for a while.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why adolescent health has kind of been neglected in comparison with the health of other age groups in the population. You know, one is they're perceived to be healthy and that their health problems are frequently hidden because most of the ways that we actually collect the statistics about health problems don't separate out adolescents. They also happen to be that middle group where technically they're in pediatrics, but most pediatricians focus on babies and that early childhood, you know, the checkups and immunizations that you get before you start school. And some of their health issues are very much related to adults. But again, they're not usually the ones giving birth. It's a small subset of the population who are perhaps pregnant or who are engaging in work and things like that. And so they get missed in some of the ways that we do those statistics. They're also not a strong political constituency because they don't get to vote. Mm. And even though, ironically, they're an important commercial market and they're a focus of a lot of targeted advertising. The other thing is that many of the issues that affect the health of adolescents are not really simple to address, such as some of the important causes of mother and child mortality, like pneumonia or problems with childbirth or malaria, where there's been a lot of focus on those interventions in other parts of the world. And finally, some of the issues that confront adolescents, like alcohol use or sexual health, are kind of culturally or politically sensitive. And there are a lot of opinions that adults have about adolescents that may not be grounded in fact, but certainly are grounded in emotion. And so as a result, that kind of limits the attention that has been given.
Well, the report definitely covers a lot of ground. I guess one of the biggest headlines, if you will, from the report is the problem of mental health issues taking a big toll on adolescents. Can you talk about a bit what that encompasses and what it might lead to?
Right. Well, so many of the key mental health problems actually begin during the adolescent years. There's a realization that a lot of the mental illnesses that adults may struggle with are often have their onset during adolescence, as many as one in four. Likewise, what we find is that those contribute to the key causes of death and of illness and disability for adolescents. So depression is the leading cause of illness and disability, and disability, like years lost due to illness for adolescents, and suicide is the third leading cause of death worldwide. Of course, in the U.S. and Canada, suicide is actually up the list. It ranks number two, just after road traffic accidents.
Well, so I suppose the idea here is to get intervention early on and then maybe prevent some of these more dire outcomes later on.
Absolutely. And part of the issue is that although these are you know, large contributing effects, we don't have systems in place in most countries, whether they're low-income countries or even high-income countries like the US and Canada, where mental health services are regularly available for adolescents. So whether it's insurance issues or there's just not enough mental health care providers available, oftentimes young people who are struggling with depression or other kinds of health issues face wait times, or they face an inability to actually get the health care they need.
And one of the more surprising findings in the report is that HIV/AIDS is the number two cause of adolescent deaths worldwide. And it seems like this is the only age group in which the HIV rate is rising. What's happening there?
Yeah, this is something that really took us by surprise and actually, frankly, has got us a bit worried, because we've seen declines in HIV deaths over the last decade thanks to, you know, retroviral drugs, effective treatment, early testing. But in contrast, we're actually seeing an increase in deaths among adolescents due to HIV. Now, part of what we think is going on is that the perinatally acquired HIV, so that is women who are pregnant, who are HIV positive and give birth to a baby, and they're born with HIV, that those babies and children are getting treatment and are living into adolescence, where perhaps they may not have in the past. But something happens during the teen years where some those services and the health care that they may have been getting as babies and children is no longer available. And we think the stigma of HIV may be part of what's happening. But we're seeing that, in fact, this is predominantly in Africa, but it's also an issue that adolescents are not necessarily being tested and then having access to treatment.
And as we head into our look at the news, there is some good news from the report. Smoking is declining, and there's also been a decline in teen pregnancy. We talked a little bit about that. But are health campaigns targeting those behaviors responsible, do you think, for these declines?
I do think they have a definite impact. And one of the things that we've seen in analyzing the smoking trends across a number of different countries around the world, I think there's 158 countries that contributed data on smoking, and we had trend data for probably about 45, mostly in Europe and North America, is that those countries where adults' level of smoking is high also had higher rates of teens, and their declines were not necessarily as strong. So overall, the world is sort of getting the news that smoking's bad for you, and a lot of those campaigns are actually making a difference in terms of reducing smoking. We know that smoking, if you started as a teenager, you're much more likely to continue as an adult, and that has a huge health impact. So the decline in youth even taking up smoking is very good news for our health systems.
Well, we're talking right now with Elizabeth Sawick about a new World Health Organization report on adolescent health worldwide.
And we want to know what you think. What issues face teens in your community? Is mental health as big a problem in your area as it is apparently worldwide? What is your community doing to address adolescent health?
We're continuing our conversation now with Elizabeth Sawick of the University of British Columbia about the World Health Organization's new report on adolescent health.
We want to know what you think and want to hear your questions. The report focuses in large part on mental health issues. Do you think in your community mental health for teens is taken seriously? Is it an important issue? If you are a teen or a parent of teens or in the healthcare professions, what kind of issues are of concern for you when it comes to teenagers and their health? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at talk@wpr.org.
And Elizabeth, I want to zero in on one that I think hits home here in the United States and, you know, here in Wisconsin, of course, road traffic injuries, the top cause of death globally, certainly. That's a big number up there.
Yeah, I think it's an important, and for me, it surprises me that even in places that are extremely low income where there aren't that many vehicles, young people are still dying from road injuries, more often as a pedestrian getting hit rather than in driving. But certainly all across the United States and Canada, road traffic accidents are the leading cause of death for adolescents. And part of that has to do with the inexperience of adolescents. You know, this is a skill that they're learning. And sometimes, depending, it also can be linked to alcohol and driving or the use of marijuana and driving. So, unfortunately, one of the challenges when it comes to deaths is that car accidents can be lethal, especially when you have high speeds on rural highways. And so that often you're more likely to end up with deaths than with disabilities or injuries.
Now, part of the report is making recommendations. Are there specific recommendations that the World Health Organization is calling for, maybe specifically as regards these road injuries and deaths?
Well, there's a whole series of guidelines and guidances and recommendations that have come out in various other reports from the World Health Organization that are pulled together as part of this. So this report, because it's so big and it covers everything from policies that governments have around adolescent health to the health sector and the training that goes into healthcare providers providing care for adolescents, as well as the issues for adolescents generally in terms of leading causes of death. So the recommendations, they try to keep it to the top 10 big ones, are very broad in general, but within the report itself there are all these links and information on key recommendations, and most of those relate to examples like what they call graduated licenses. So, for example, when adolescents first get their driver's license, there may be restrictions on how many people can be in the car with them and whether or not they can drive after midnight or those kinds of things, as well as a sort of zero tolerance for any blood alcohol level until you get beyond the novice license and into a full driver's license, which may take a couple years.
Well, to focus in some more on the United States, what unique problems do you see facing the nation's teens here?
Well, I think I'm not sure how many unique problems, other than one of the things that's fairly big here in North America is that the fifth leading cause of death is actually interpersonal violence. Unlike some other parts of the world where other causes of death, leading causes might be suicide or even war in some places, and HIV, as was mentioned in Africa, interpersonal violence is a growing issue in the Americas, and that includes death from shooting and gun injuries, but also just generally that sort of violence exposure. So that's something that clearly is an issue that we need to pay attention to in adolescents. And we also, I think, one of the other big issues in terms of not death but overall health that will have long-term health ramifications is the increase in obesity and the decrease in physical activity. So we see that the World Health recommendations are that adolescents should be getting up to 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity every day. So that means 60 minutes of activity that makes you breathe hard and sweat. And there are very few adolescents that get that much. And the numbers suggest, at least in the national surveys that we've been tracking, those numbers are declining in the U.S. So that, of course, is linked to obesity, but it's not just obesity. That kind of physical activity contributes to heart healthiness, to prevent heart disease and strokes later on in life. It can help prevent diabetes, and it can contribute to positive mental health.
So this is sort of a window of opportunity for adolescents to get active and contribute to their health later on down the road.
As well as for right now, yes.
So what sorts of things, looking at in terms of, you know, increased activity, healthier eating, are there things like that that are clear windows of opportunity for us to jump in there and do the right thing for adolescents and get them moving and eating right?
Absolutely. Clearly some of the recommendations in terms of what they're tracking, because these contribute to those chronic conditions, cancer and other diseases, is making sure that youth get enough vegetables and fruits, those 5 servings a day. Very few adolescents in North America get enough fruits and vegetables. And reduce the amount of sugared beverages, whether that's soda pop or fruit juices, and increase instead, you know, water and milk and other things. But mostly just reducing soft drinks and increasing fruits and vegetables, increasing that physical activity, and encouraging young people to do the kinds of things that will actually promote positive mental health for them.
So overall, what sorts of trends does this report reveal? Is adolescent health getting better on a global scale, or is it a lot still to worry us here?
Well, it's tough to actually say on a global scale, because what we see is that there are so many variations across countries. In every region of the world, some countries are really high at some of the things we're worried about, like smoking and lack of physical activity, and the trends may actually be getting worse. In other areas, like bullying, the trends may be getting better. Smoking is going down pretty consistently across North America and Europe, but there are some countries where it's actually still on the increase, mostly in lower and middle income countries. So there's no one trend. Generally speaking, though, the adolescent years are the years with the lowest amount of death compared to any other age range. The challenge we see is that as the world has been working to reduce unnecessary deaths, things that can be prevented over the last couple decades, the group that has had the least progress in reducing that has been adolescents. There's been huge gains in child survival and definite improvements in survival among older adults. They're living longer and living healthier, but we see very few improvements, definite improvements, just very few when it comes to adolescents. So there's still more work that needs to be done.
Yeah, that's troubling. And is that all down to what you talked about earlier about how adolescents get overlooked, or is there something else going on?
I think it's primarily that they get overlooked. And I think one of the big things is that we don't necessarily involve them in the decisions and actions that influence their health. That's a really important thing, giving youth a voice in how to best improve their health and make sure that their environment and their relationships and their opportunities are what are going to actually help them have the best health for now and in the future.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
That was Elizabeth Sewick, professor of nursing and adolescent medicine at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver.